Good morning. So, when you look around the world, you can have an idea of God's power. You can have an idea of God's creativity when you look at the world and the universe. But most of what we know about God, He has told us. He's revealed to us in His Word. And we praise, we worship God for His many attributes. There's one attribute that God has that's known as, the fancy word is immutability. It means that God does not change. He tells us in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, He says, I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, will not be consumed. It says in the Psalms, in Psalm 102, verses 25 through 27, it says, of old, you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. God does not change. God never will change. But that's not true for us. We change in ways that we like, sometimes in ways that we don't. Changes happen in our individual lives. Changes happen in our families' lives. Changes happen in our church families' lives, right? We've seen it in the last year and a half. There's been a lot of changes. And so I wanted to not have any kind of surprise during the message today of a change, and instead talk about the opportunity we have as a church to see how the Lord has continued and will continue to provide for our church, as He has even in the many changes in the last year and a half. And with another change happening, we are excited to see how God provides. And we invite you all along the journey to pray for Terra Nova, for the future of Terra Nova, and as we continue this journey together, as we follow our God who does not change. And so, as Blake comes up to share the message today, and to share some of his story, I want to pray for us, for our church, together. So would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you so much for this place, for our church, and for all the ways, Lord, that you lead us, that you provide for us, Lord, that the opportunities you give us to know you more, to know each other more, to grow in our faith, even with a different location in the last year and a half and with changing pastors and staff the last year and a half, you stay the same. The goal stays the same. Lord, we continue to follow you and with open hearts, open hands, just eagerly await and are excited for all you have for our church. And so we look to you, Lord, we trust you, and we thank you in advance in all the ways that you provide. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Well, good morning, Terra Nova. So, Tori mentioned change, and for those of you who don't know me, actually, my name is Blake Philippi. I serve as the Director of Discipleship and Outreach here at Terra. I want to share a little bit about what is going on in my life, but essentially the big change that that Tori's referring to is that today is actually going to be my last day in my role here at Terra Nova. So, It's good stuff going on. I'm an emotional guy, and I know that's totally fine, but if that makes you uncomfortable, buckle up for the next half hour. today is going to be my last day of my role as Director of Discipleship and Outreach. My wife, Kate, and I are going to stay at Terra Nova Church in attendance, but we have some changes going on. And for our time together, we're going to do three things today. The first thing we're going to do is I just want to share kind of why I'm stepping down from my role for a few minutes. So we're going to do that. And then I forgot to hit my timer here. I don't want to talk for an hour. And then the second part, I wanted to take the opportunity to share a little bit about my journey at Terra Nova and all the ways that Terra Nova has impacted my life over the last decade and what I'm excited for Terra Nova moving forward. I thought it was an appropriate time to do that. I've been reflecting a lot on that as I've been winding down my time here, and I wanted to share that with you. And then to conclude our time together, we're going to spend a little bit of time meditating and reflecting on Psalm 91, because we are still in our summer in the Psalms. So, is that good with everyone? All right, cool. I'm more nervous today than I normally am when I get up here. So, reasons for leaving. Okay, so 2 years ago, we had our daughter, Evelyn, and she is an absolute joy. And having her really, and when I say we, I mean me and my wife, she really changed our hearts and our perspective kind of on how we want to go about our lives. And after we had Evelyn, Kate and I started to plan and kind of come up with some goals to establish kind of the life that we want for our kids, how to maximize time with them in the early stages of their lives, her at that time. And we spent a lot of time in prayer because we knew it would mean a lot of work and a lot of big changes for us. And at the time, 2 years ago, I was at Loudonville Christian School, which if you don't know, is just a private, really cool private Christian school in Loudonville. And I had been there for like 5 or 6 years, and I loved it. But it was really hard in that role to work toward the goals that my wife and I had come up with and work toward what we felt like was best for our family. At that time, around that time, when we were coming up with that, Bill had mentioned that he, privately, that he was kind of moving on, and some of the elders kind of approached me to see if maybe it would be a good fit for me to transition to Terra Nova. Terra Nova would ultimately provide more flexibility in working toward the goals that we had established, and was also in a job in a ministry, particularly in a community that has that I've been a part of for the last decade, a little over 10 years. So I came to Terra Nova full-time 1 year ago tomorrow. So I gave it a year, I guess. And I got to work, and it's been a privilege to serve the church that has had such a major impact in my life over the last 10 years. Then 2 months ago, little Calvin came into our lives. and I took some paternity leave, and on that leave, Kate and I kind of reanalyzed where we're at in working toward the goals that we had established when we first had Evelyn, and we prayed a lot about what was best for our family. And without getting into too much of those details, we just came to the conclusion that what's best for our family is for me to step down from my role and to maybe focus on some other things in this season of our lives. And that's been a really difficult journey to come to this conclusion, but we feel really confident that that's the decision, or that's the direction that God is kind of leading us in, and would really actually appreciate your prayers in that. And like I said, for the sake of time, I don't want to get into all the details. I do know that I interact with a lot of people in this room, and if you do want to hear more about that or talk more about that, I'd be happy to share with you or talk with you after the service. So, anyway, that's the big change that's coming up. I'm going to be stepping down, and I know the elder team is going to be communicating what that looks like moving forward, and nothing but good things moving forward. Like I said, so that's kind of the first thing I want to do. The second thing I want to do is share a little bit about my journey. So as I've been winding down here, I've been reflecting a lot on all the ways that Terra Nova has had an impact on my life. I'm pretty nostalgic and sentimental, so I did want to take the opportunity to share a little bit about the journey. And the way that Terra Nova has impacted me, I feel like I've had a really amazing experience of church community over my years here, and so my aim is to kind of just praise God for the work that he's doing in this church through the lens of what my experience of that has been. And I also thought it was kind of fitting that we're in the book of Psalms. You know, each psalm is kind of the author's reflection or reflection on a particular moment or moment in their lives. So I've been doing that and kind of wanted to express it back. So before we get into our psalm today, I wanted to just kind of share that sentiment. So here's a little bit about my journey through Terra Nova and just the way that God has worked through Terra in my life. So I first came to Terra Nova in the summer of 2010, which makes me feel a little old. I was about to head into my final year at Bible College in Philadelphia, where I was studying theology, and I was actually in a really rough place in my heart. I had some things that I was struggling to work through from my past, and at the time I had a lot of anger and bitterness toward the church in general based on some of the experiences I had previously. I felt like the church was relatively legalistic, kind of out of touch, a little judgmental. And in that summer, and over the breaks from college, I came to Terra Nova for the first time. And my experience at Terra Nova was a lot different than how I was perceiving the church. I remember walking away kind of in an interesting state, walking away from Terra Nova services with this simple appreciation for who Jesus was. And that meant a lot to me in that season of my life. And at that time, in those sporadic experiences of Terra Nova did help me. I was in Bible college, but Terra Nova helped me understand Jesus in a different way. Specifically, to understand grace, you know, which I think we do really well. It was really foreign to me. So I graduated from college, and for the next year or so, my brother was in attendance here, so, you know, I follow him around everywhere. I just moved right next to him. So I graduated from college, which I also went to college with. For the next year or so, I attended Terra Nova on and off till about 2012 when my wife, Caitlin, and I began to date. And at that time, kind of individually, Kate and I were both recognizing our need to pursue our faith a little bit more than we had been and get involved in a church. So we started coming to Terra Nova pretty consistently, and we joined a tribe. We joined an Albany tribe that was led then by Sean Nolan, if you know him. And then from that point on, through tribe and through all the various facets of our church community, God has used Terra Nova to shape me in so many different ways into the person that I am today. So kind of with that in mind, I just wanted to share a few of those things that are highlights for me from what I've learned from Terra Nova over the years that have been really formative for me. Kind of pieces that I picked up that seem to be the core of who we are as a church. And one of the first and most formative things has been the way that Terra Nova kind of understands and expresses the gospel. I remember my first nucleus class, which, I don't know, if you don't know what a nucleus class is, it's a class we hold periodically. If you're new or trying to get involved with Terra Nova and learn more about the church, we hold this class. You can sit down with one of the pastors and kind of just ask questions, hear about what our core values are, things like that. And I remember a handful of us were sitting in a room in our old office space in 409 River Street, and Pastor Ed, our lead pastor at the time, mentioned the gospel, and he spelled it out in Greek on this board. And I thought that was cool, because I was in Bible college, and I was studying Greek, and or I had just gotten out of Bible college. And he said, so what does this mean? And nobody really answered, and I thought I was like, so great. And I said, it means good news, because it actually literally means good news. And then Ed kind of affirmed my answer, and then he proceeded to very, very kindly, but kind of sarcastically, help me see how shallow kind of my thought process was there. He went on this like 20-minute explanation of the gospel. But what he said and how we kind of understand the gospel here completely changed my worldview. And I wanted to share kind of just the basic gospel. He said that the gospel starts at creation, right? That God created the world, and he created humanity, and he told humanity to cultivate life, and he was in perfect relationship with them, and people had perfect relationship with one another, and there's this original design to the world where people flourish and create communities, and work is good, right? And people experience joy. God's original design for the world. And this understanding of sin then isn't just right versus wrong as much as it is missing the mark, missing the pursuit of that for the sake of my own pursuits. Instead of kind of acknowledging that God, who is infinitely good, knows what's best for me and how to experience joy in life, I become my own God and think I know better. So sin isn't necessarily about this legalistic structure of right and wrong. It's about, man, I'm just pursuing the wrong things. And then Jesus making us right with God kind of equips us to shift back and experience this, and then to help other people around us to experience that original design. And it's all about that. The spread of the kingdom is kind of the rebirth of creation. And that mindset just really changed the way I view the world, changed how I viewed my own sin. I came from a very legalistic perspective, and hearing those things really just helped shape me a lot and helped me to really establish what's valuable in life. So that's one of the things that Terra Nova has really impacted me. And in sharing these things, I just want to bring them to mind and have us meditate on them for a minute. Another thing that Terra Nova really instilled in me is this idea of discipleship. Discipleship's not about being perfect, I learned. That it's more about this continuous life of God revealing himself to us. This infinitely good God reveals himself to us, and we have this inward response in us to that revelation, and then we reflect God's revelation to other people around us. And I realized, though, and that sounds great, it sounds like a good structure, and I realized that when God reveals himself to us, sometimes we respond well, and sometimes we don't. And sometimes we're a good image of his truth, and sometimes we're not. And Terra Nova helped me to see that that's okay. When I came to Terra Nova, I thought my past, some of the things that I was dealing with, I thought my past had prevented God from loving me. I had known Jesus and then kind of turned away from the church. So how could he love me? And God worked through Terra Nova to teach me about truth and grace, about real discipleship, that it's a journey, and it's not about perfection. One last thing that I wanted to share about my journey that I learned with Terra is the value of community. We say, I think in our core values, somewhere in our stuff, we talk about monastic and missional, right? Community is monastic and missional. And the idea is, Terra Nova's idea is to do community well within the church body. So within the church, do community well. Cultivate life in that way God originally designed. Work on relationship with God. Work on relationship with each other. Right? And then go do that life together out in the community so people can see it and see something different about the way we engage with each other. Right? And they're attracted to the gospel. They're attracted to the kingdom. Right? And God gave me that experience in my tribe. Terra Nova community through tribes has changed my life. I've been in tribe with a lot of different people over the years. Over the 10 years, we moved from Albany to Troy, and then I got to lead the Troy tribe for 5 or 6 years. One couple in particular we've been with in tribe for the last 10 years. And it's life-changing to have friends like that, people in life, to not just have a good time with, but to challenge you, to know you intimately, to kind of call you out on things, to journey through life's ups and downs with. You know, Terra Nova's commitment to community, to narrow and deep community, has helped me to realize so much about who God is and what he wants for the world. And then over my years at Terra, I've also had a lot of opportunities to serve, which has been equally life-changing. I've had the opportunity, I did an internship years ago where I got to set up for services like this that we were having when we were back in Revolution Hall. Got to work with volunteers to help make sure the service happened. I began to preach here once or twice a year about 6 years ago. And I've been blessed by that opportunity. I've been able to lead tribes, the journey through redemption groups, to become a redemption group leader. And then I got to come into this role full-time. And in my role now, I get to work with tribes and try to provide support for our tribe leaders to cultivate that type of community that we desire for our people and our church. I got to work with youth and be able to kind of brainstorm and figure out what it looks like to create a youth program that students can learn the gospel and learn core values of who Jesus is and try to grow in those relationships so that they're sent off well into the world, right? Got to kind of envision what it looks like to do outreach, where Terra Nova is kind of assessing what it looks like to be involved in our community and to reach our community well. I got to work with Terra Kids and help with some of the administrative structure there, with Poema, Imago, and YAG, and figure out what it looks like to support those ministries who are working to do the community that we're trying to do. I bring all this up because it's such a joy to see all the ways that God is working in and through Terra Nova Church. And the reason I want to share all this is because I've deeply experienced God in those interactions and in working and being involved in Terra Nova Church. And I'm thankful to God for my experience here. And I'm excited for more to come. But another reason I wanted to share those last experiences is that I simply want to encourage us to get involved and stay involved. I know there's been a lot of changes, like Tori mentioned, but regardless of all the changes, Terra Nova still values the same things. Jesus as the center of it all. Truth and grace, the gospel, deep community, and kind of as the elder team works to establish what it looks like as we continue to move forward out of some of these changes in this kind of new season in our church, those values are present, and I'm excited to see where our church goes. And over the years, I was intentional to get involved with Terra Nova Church, and it changed my life. And I encourage you, as we move forward as a church, whether it's in tribes, in Imago, Poema, YAG, whatever it is, volunteering, get involved, and then just sit back and watch all the ways that God is working in this community. As I've been reflecting on my time here, I've just come to the conclusion that church community is simply a beautiful thing. And I believe that Terra Nova values that and makes a lot of effort to do that. So, amen? Yeah. So that's kind of the news I wanted to share and a little bit about my journey that brought me here. I just wanted to encourage us and give us just some insights into, you know, everything that Terra Nova is and everything it has been for me, at least. So we're going to transition now to the Psalms. I'm done. We're going to transition to the Psalms. So for like 10 or 15 minutes. So we're not going to like start a sermon right now, just so you know. We're going to do something a little different. Yeah, don't worry. I know you said you're leaving early, so it's for you, Ryan. the last handful of weeks, we've been spending time in the Psalms. We're calling it our Summer in the Psalms. And before we read through the Psalm for today, I do want to talk about the Psalms a little bit in general and kind of give us a roadmap of where we're going. So the Psalms are these poetic expressions to God. And they're either about kind of what's going on in the author's life and the author is expressing that to God, or God has done something and the author has experienced it and he or she is expressing it back to God. Right? And the Psalms take on a lot of different forms over the book of Psalms. We have Psalms of praise, where the author might be experiencing this excitement in life or awe at who God is, and the author creatively expresses that back to God. We observe imprecatory psalms, where the author is asking God to invoke judgment on their enemies or to intervene on their behalf. And then we also see psalms of lament, where the author is kind of expressing a sense of sorrow, maybe experiencing distance in their relationship with God and kind of wondering where God is at in the midst of all of the chaos and what's the plan moving forward. And those are just a few of the kind of categories of psalms that we see. Psalms are simply expressions to God that engage with every facet of life. And I say that because I recognize that we're all in different places in our journey with Jesus. Maybe some of us in here today are feeling close to God. Maybe things are tough, but I'm journeying through it well. And praise God for that, right? And the hope today is that you have an opportunity to meditate on that and respond with that praise to God. But maybe some of us are feeling distant from God and things are tough and I don't think I'm journeying through it well. Maybe I'm suffering and I'm discouraged or angry, whatever it is. That's okay. The Psalms take that experience, whatever it is, and express it to God. And it creates this beautiful moment of intimacy with Him. So that's kind of what our aim is for today. My aim is just to create a platform for all of us to engage with God, to share a few moments of quiet reflection and meditation with Him. I recognize I kind of want to do this because I didn't want to dive into this too much for the sake of time, but also because I know the summer's busy. I know that tribes are on break, and I think we have an opportunity to kind of just pause, like the psalmists do, and reflect, meditate, and express some things back to God. So here's how we're going to do this. We're going to use Psalm 91 as a framework for us to work out of. So first, we're going to focus on who God is. Standard Terra Nova fashion. Eternal, internal, external. First, we're going to focus on who God is, what He is revealing to us lately in whatever stage of life you find yourself at, whether positive or negative. Who has God been to you recently? And how has He been revealing Himself? So we're going to look at Psalm 91. We're going to see what it says about God. And then we're going to pause for reflection. We're going to pause for 2 minutes. It's going to be some music on in the background. And at the end of those 2 minutes, I'm going to ask us to take some notes on what we reflected on. Okay? And then we're going to shift to an inward response. We're going to focus on what's going on inside. As a result of what God's been revealing, or as a result of your experience with God lately, what has been your inward response? We're going to take some time to meditate on what our heart's posture is toward God, whether positive or negative. So we're going to take some time to meditate on that, and then we're going to take some notes at the end of that section. And then our final section of meditation, we're going to focus on our engagements with the world around us. So after we reflect on what God's been revealing, and we analyze our inward posture, we're going to focus on what it looks like to engage with the world well around us. Essentially, what do we want to create in the world around us as a result of our experience with God lately? So again, we're going to meditate on that and have some time for some notes at the end. And what I hope we walk away with is a foundation for your own psalm. The aim is that the notes that you take at the after each part piece of meditation can serve as a foundation for you to maybe circle back to later in the week, maybe spend some time meditating on further or elaborating on those points, and if you're up for it, creatively expressing a psalm to God that kind of marks this season of your life. And if that's not your thing, that's totally fine. Then the aim is to simply give you time to meditate in your relationship with God and how He's engaging with you in this season of your life. Okay, so is everybody good with that? All right, cool. I'm going to assume that's everybody. So Psalm 91. We find Psalm 91 as the second chapter of the fourth book of Psalms. We learned a few weeks ago that there's actually 5 books that the Psalms are broken into. We're at the start of the fourth book. And we have Psalm 90 and Psalm 91 that are kind of a two-part beginning to this book. So it's at the beginning of the book, so it has a little bit more weight to it. And Psalm 90 and 91 are kind of in contrast to one another. So Psalm 90 takes this pretty somber tone. It expresses, you know, the mortality of humanity, asks God why He's so distant from His people. His people have been suffering a lot, and they're kind of curious, you know, where are You, God? What's the plan in the midst of all this? And they hadn't experienced anything from Him. But then Psalm 91 takes on this much more positive tone. It's a reminder to the people that even in the midst of really difficult circumstances, God is present with His people. So what we're going to do is we're going to read the psalm together, and then we're going to dive right into periods of meditation. So I'm going to read this. It should be up here. Great. Thanks. This is in the NIV, so I think it's a little more poetic. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, then no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. So for our first point for meditation, it's going to be on who God is, and that's going to be the music we're going to meditate to. It's going to be nice. So in this psalm, we're going to just briefly work through this first point, and then we're going to take some time. So in this psalm, the overall truth that's being revealed is that God is present with his people. In context, the psalmist is kind of reminding the people of what God has done for them. Right? In the midst of chaos, God keeps his promises to his people. Over the course of history, God had worked to establish the people of Israel as this image of who he is in the midst of the surrounding nations, representing his character and nature, and he was faithful to them, even though they were unfaithful to him. Right? It's kind of what the psalm is getting at. For us, we know that God has worked to establish us in relationship with him as well in Christ. Regardless of the chaos around, God keeps us secure in our relationship with him. The psalmist is not intending to tell us that if we're faithful in our relationship with God, that we won't get sick or we won't experience suffering. He's saying that we are ultimately secure in Christ. God has ordained that I can experience joy in my relationship with him, even in the midst of difficulty and suffering. He doesn't leave us. His work is not temporary. He is infinitely able to keep us secure in him. So that's kind of a glimpse of what Psalm 91 says about God. That's the truth that God is revealing to his people in that moment of their lives. So now we're going to take some time and meditate on what God is revealing to us. Maybe it's that truth that we just read, and we want to spend some time meditating on that. Maybe it's something else that we're experiencing from God. Right? So that's when we're going to put some music on in the background, and there's going to be a prompt on the screen. Right, and we're going to take, I have my timer here. We're going to have 1 minute to quietly meditate to some music. And then after that 1 minute is up, I'm going to come back up here and I'm going to ask us to, if you're willing to, take out something to take some notes on. If it's your phone, if it's a pad of paper, if you need a Bible, Corey's over there and he can hand you one. But then I'm going to ask you to take some notes and jot down kind of some of the things that will prompt your mind to remember what you're meditating. Sound good? All right. Been spending some time in meditation now. I just want to encourage you to jot down a few of the things. The aim is to kind of give us a foundation for what we're thinking through. So jot down a few notes as far as your response to the prompt up there. And I'll give you another minute to do that. Okay. So that's our first point of meditation, kind of who God is. And our second point, and it comes out of that. So our second point of meditation that we're going to focus on is our inward response to that revelation, to God's revelation to us. So in this psalm, we're going to work through this. In the psalm, as a result about the fact that God is present with his people, the inward response in the psalm is focused on the pursuit of dwelling with God. The psalmist says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." He says, "Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name." Right? The psalmist urges the people to pursue God. He doesn't require perfection. He doesn't require good works as a prerequisite. He talks about the pursuit of God, which comes from the heart, as a result of God's presence among his people. And I know for myself, I pursue so many other things. It's that original sin that we talked about earlier, whether it's security or power or prestige, whatever it is. We're all prone to pursue things that we think are best for ourselves, when in reality we find those things more fully in who Jesus is. Right? So we spend some time reflecting on a truth that God is revealing to us, whether that truth is in the psalm, like we've been talking about, or if it's something else. Whatever it is, take that truth, and now we're going to meditate on it through the lens of this prompt. In the psalm, God's presence kind of challenged the people's hearts as to whether or not they were pursuing the presence that he gave to them. So we're going to ask ourselves, what's our inward posture been in our relationship with God? More specifically, in response to the truth he's been revealing to me lately, what's the posture of my heart? Maybe it's positive and we're really grateful to God. We have a chance to express thanks to him for that. So if we're here, we're doing great. A lot of the psalms are full of praise, so I encourage you to do that well. But maybe it's a struggle and our hearts are being challenged. We can meditate on that as well. Whatever it is, the music's going to come on again, and I'll give you another minute, and then I'll interject when it's time to start taking some notes too. So please just spend some time in meditation or prayer on these prompts here. Now, just continue to meditate, but I'd encourage you to take some notes on what you were just jotting down, again, as like a way that you can circle back to later and kind of be reminded of what you've been journeying through today. Go ahead. Okay, so our final point of meditation for today, focused on our engagement with the people around us. So in this psalm, God has revealed that he is present with his people, and it's caused this inward response to pursue him, And it leads to the reflection of that truth in their lives for the people of God, which is to navigate without fear the chaos around them. All right, the emphasis is on the presence of God in the midst of life's circumstances. It all works together. So God is present with his people as they went through a tremendous amount of suffering. And the aim of the psalm was to give people confidence. And as a result of the truth, and this is kind of what we're trying to navigate through today, as a result of the truth, it led to his people not fearing chaos. So we've taken some time to meditate on a truth for ourselves that God is revealing to us. Either these truths that we're finding in Psalm 91 or something else that God's been revealing to us, and we've journeyed through our inward response to that truth. And now we're going to meditate on what it looks like to reflect that truth in the world. How do we want to engage with the people around us based on the work God is doing in us? You know, maybe there are specific people you want to be intentional to be more loving toward. Maybe there are tensions between you and someone that you might have to make right. Maybe there's a different posture that we need to take as we journey through life. Maybe we need to have the confidence to do something that we've been wanting to do that's really positive, but we're a little hesitant to do. Whatever it is, as a result of our experiences with God lately, understanding his character and nature, what he's doing in our hearts, how do we want to engage around us? So there's going to be some music's going to come back on for our last time here. We're going to start in meditation. There should be a prompt up there. Good. We're going to start in some meditation for a minute, and then we'll take some more notes, and then I'll close this out for today. All right, for this last time, just want to encourage you to take some notes on what you're just thinking, and you'll have kind of a full picture of where you've been at. We'll do that for another minute, and we'll close. So to close our time, at this time the band's going to actually come back up, and just wanted to say a few things. One, I just wanted to share for the first half of the service, I do appreciate letting me share my story a little bit, and it's bittersweet news, and I hope what you hear is just a testimony about the amazing things that God is doing in Terra Nova Church. And I hope that Jesus is glorified in that, and that you get to experience him in all the ways that Terra Nova has to offer. And in the second half, I hope that you were encouraged to simply meditate on who Jesus is. I encourage you to circle back to this later and maybe even consider writing out a psalm. I've done that in the past. I know we've done that through certain ministries in the past here before, and it seems to be a useful tool to mark seasons of your life. So I encourage you to maybe attempt to do that. So I'm just going to pray for our time together, and then band's going to take over. So just pray with me. Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for your presence among us. Thank you for engaging with each one of us intimately. We're so grateful for Jesus. We're grateful for security in him. We're thankful for the work that you're doing in this church. I ask that above all, Lord, you would continue to be glorified in us as we go about our lives, and be glorified and receive our worship here today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.